Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
We're going to be today in Genesis 35. If you want to go there in your Bibles, Genesis 35. And I want to kind of introduce the idea to you today. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed this, but what's so amazing, and even Pastor Gary said that you always want to be in church. You never want to miss it. And there's something powerful that'll happen every now and then when you come in, you get in the presence of God, you're worshiping, and then you encounter the presence of God through His Word in a way that kind of creates an internal shift in your life to where you say, before I heard that I was one way, after I experienced God's word, I was a different way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you hear from God in a way that you can't be the same. And it's my prayer today that for at least a few of you, you would have one of those moments. I call them, for me, they're anchor messages. When I look back over my time of following Jesus, there are a few messages that just become like an anchor for me, like a rock, where God just spoke to me in a way that really changed things. And I've been praying that for a few of you, you would have an encounter today with God in His Word that would be an anchor like that for you. And so let me kind of give you the context of what I want to talk about. For some of you right now, you're in a place where you'd rather not be. You're going through something that you think, I didn't choose this, I wish that it were something else. And sometimes when you're in the middle of a difficult time, we tend to label it or we give it a title. We label it or we give it a title. For example, right now, some of you may have labeled this season, this is one of the most difficult seasons of my life, okay? That may be true, but I believe it's incomplete. God wants to say more about it. You may say, I'm going through something I never wish I'd gone through. I'm battling in a way that I've never battled before. Some of you might say, I'm really fighting depression. I've got an uphill battle. I don't know how I'm gonna pay the bills. It might be any number of different things, but maybe from a negative perspective, you're labeling what you're going through right now, saying, I wish that this were not so. Others of you, it may not be a situation, but it might be who you see yourself as. You might look at yourself and you're adopting a negative label. It might be that you feel just really stupid because of something that you did. I can't believe I did something so stupid. You feel maybe unlovable because you're at a time where everybody else is going around going, see my ring, see my ring, see my ring. Like, I like, God bless your ring, but keep your ring on my thing. You know, because you're like, why isn't there anybody for me? It might be that you feel unworthy because of something that you did. You feel like, man, after what I did, how in the world could God ever love me? And it might be that you have a negative label for a situation in life, or it might be a negative label for you. What I want to encourage you today is, even if there's some truth to the label or the title that you have, I believe God is going to help you call it something else. Call it something different than what it is. And I'll kind of introduce the big idea before we look at Genesis 35. I'll tell you a little bit of my story. There was a time when if I had a label, it would have been Craig was a doubter or Craig was a spiritual skeptic. There was also a time where, honestly, I hate to say it, but I was a thief, I was a liar, I was a lot of other things. Before I was a follower of Christ, one of the titles was I was a partier, I partied hard. How many of you ever partied hard? Anybody party hard? Anybody sin a lot? Anybody sin a lot? You're not raising your hand in church. How many? Come on, don't be like all shy and stuff. How many of you know sin can be fun for a little while? Sin can be fun? Yeah, listen, if you're not raising your hand right now, you either didn't do it right, right? Or you're lying in the middle of church. Sin can be fun for a little while, but how many of you know it'll mess you up? Sinning is like sneezing. You know, you sin like sneezing. Like sneezing feels good when it's coming out. And then there's snot everywhere. That's what sinning's like. It's like it feels good for a while, then it'll mess you up. Well, I was in the season back when I was in college where I was getting messed up by it. And I was in a fraternity at the time that got in a lot of trouble. We had some guys break the law in a massive way. And so they were going to try to kick our fraternity house off of campus. Well, I was in a position of leadership at the time, and I was really hurting. I was really afraid. I didn't have any real sense of identity. And so I was on a spiritual quest to find out more, but I didn't know how you go from being like, keg party, to does anybody want to talk about who Jesus is? I didn't know how to do that. So when our fraternity got in trouble, I saw it as the perfect chance to do two things. One was to kind of create a public relations move with the university in hopes that they wouldn't kick us off. And two was to find a way that I could seek, is this God real? And if he is, does he matter in my life? And so what I told my fraternity brothers is, and you got to remember, I'm like the lead party guy. I said, guess what, guys? We're our house in trouble. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a Bible study. And they're like, we're going to start a bleep of the bleep. What? I said, yeah, we're going to start a Bible study. Like, we're not going to do a Bible study. I said, yes, we are. We're going to do a Bible study. You're going to love it. You're all going to be there. And then I'm just making, it's going to be Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Bible study. And they're all looking like, there's no way we're coming. Well, Tuesday rolled around. I woke up thinking, okay, man, I don't know. I'm hungover. We're doing a Bible study. Okay. I'm going to class. I'm like, oh no, I don't have a Bible. Well, you know, so I'm walking into my economics class, and I'm not going to tell you that I prayed because honestly, I don't think I was nearly that spiritual. But what I kind of did was I kind of just like thought in the direction of God. It's kind of like I'm walking to class going like, I don't have a Bible. I don't have a Bible. If anyone cares, I don't have a Bible. Walked into class. I came out of class. God as my witness. There was a gentleman in a suit and tie from an organization known as the Gideons. If you don't know what the Gideons are, this guy walked up to me and said, young man, would you like a free Bible? B-I-B-L-E. That's the free book for me. I took this little Bible, I was like, oh, oh. I took my Bible, 7 o'clock, expecting 60 guys to be at our Bible study, and there were seven, okay? I said to the guys, I tried to be like pastoral. I'd been to enough church services to know the pastor says things like, turn to the first book in your Bible. And so I tried to be like that preacher voice and all. I said, turn to the first book in your Bible. And they all turned to Genesis. And I turned to Matthew. Like, no wonder it was free. It's not all there. It's a part Bible. It's a half Bible. I'm like, find Matthew in your Bible. And so they found Matthew. I said, okay, we're just going to start reading at the very beginning. And if you're not a Christian or don't know what's in Matthew 1, it's not a great place to start with a bunch of hungover party guys. It just talks about who got who pregnant and had who. I'm like, skip to Matthew 2. And so we're in Matthew 2, and we're reading on, and we would just pray and read the Bible. That's all. We didn't even know how to pray. None of us knew how to pray. So we'd read it, we'd talk about it, and then we'd pray. Our prayers, honestly, were like, God, you know, we just ask that you protect us when we party, God, keep us safe, help us not get a DUI, and God, we just pray, God, we ask that Sean's girlfriend's not pregnant, God, help her not be pregnant, and that's all we knew to do, that's it. And so we just started reading through the Bible and then praying, literally prayers kind of like that. I got so excited, I read ahead. I was like, this is so good. I read Matthew, and I read about that Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose again, and then I read in Mark, And I read the same story. Jesus died and he rose again. I read Luke and he died and he rose again. I read John, thinking to myself, you know, I'm not the Son of God or anything, but you'd think like after once or twice you'd see this whole they're gonna kill you thing coming. I had no idea that it was the same account, but, you know, just by different people. Like, I didn't know. I thought it happened once and evidently. And so I read all the way ahead. And I got to Ephesians chapter 2, and that's when I had an encounter with God. Ephesians chapter 2, just like I pray, and again, I'm going to tell you, that some of you will have an encounter like that today with God and his word, where you walk away and say, before I was this way, but after I was forever changed. And I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and the lights came on for me, and it said that you could be saved by the grace of God not by your own good works. And that was the big problem for me, because I always felt unworthy and not good enough. And I tried to stop sinning, and I couldn't stop. I was like Paul in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. And you're saved by the grace of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. And that's when I went out to a little field all by myself, and just no one else was there but me and the God I hoped existed. And I knelt down in the field, one person. I knelt down, a hurting person, a broken person, a person who was lying and stealing and all sorts of bad things. And I just cried out to Jesus. And when I stood up, what I want you to know is I was a new person. Not a better version of me, a different version. The old was completely gone. Everything was completely new, transformed by the grace of Jesus. And there are those of you, good news, that God brought here today for a very similar type experience, that when you call on his name, he will hear your prayer. He will forgive your sins. He will transform you from the inside out. What you were, you will no longer be, because when you encounter the grace of Jesus, you will never, ever be the same. Somebody tell God thank you and give him some praise today. I was Craig the partier. I was Craig the skeptic. I was Craig the doubter. I was Craig the liar. And after that, I became Craig, a new creation in Christ. The old was gone. The new had come. God, I believe, started to call me something else. What was the worst season of my life, the loneliest season of my life, the most desperate season of my life, I renamed and said it was the best time, because what was the lowest time left me nowhere to look but up to call on him. When I called on him, that which was meant to hurt me actually transformed me. I now call it something else. If there is something in your life that you wish were different, and all you have is a negative label for it, call it something else. If you've internalized a label about yourself, it may even be a little bit true. What I hope you'll know is that what's true today doesn't have to be true tomorrow. When the power of God touches you, he can take what is and change it into what he wants to be. Call it something else. Everybody say that. Call it something else. Genesis 35, let me give you the context, and we're going to look at a person who actually did this exact thing. In Genesis, we actually see around 35, we see a guy named Jacob who's walking along, and he sees what some of you will see today. You may look over down three seats from you and see a person worshiping God. You think, oh, I like the way that person's worshiping God. She's kind of cute the way she's worshiping God. I see no ring on that finger as she's worshiping God. And this is kind of what happened with Jacob. He's like looking down, and there's this girl tending sheep. And he's like, she's tending sheep. She's tending sheep. There's no ring on that finger as she's tending sheep. Maybe she wants me to help her tend those sheep. And so he sees this girl, her name's Rachel. And the Bible's pretty funny. Not only is it powerful, it's funny. The Bible describes Rachel and her sister. And you have to read this. It's really in there. I'm not making this up. The Bible says that Rachel was lovely in form and figure. I don't know why my hands just did that, but it just happened. It was just, I don't even know why. It's like, she was lovely in form and figure, right? And so that's all I have to say about her. And then she had an older sister. And what it says about her is, it says, but Leah had weak eyes. That's in the Bible, y'all. Look it up, okay? This is how true the Bible is. Okay, it says, Rachel was lovely in form and figure, but Leah had weak eyes. Now, what that means in the Hebrew language is this. What it means is that Rachel was lovely of form and figure, and Leah had a really good personality. That's what it means. I'm just messing with you, but this is what the Bible says. So here Jacob's like going, I want to tend some sheep with Rachel. So she goes and meets her dad and says, hey, what do I need to do to win this girl? And so he's like, hey, all you need to do is work for me for 7 years and you can have my daughter in marriage. That's exactly what I do with my kids. I have 6 kids. That's right, 6 of them. You say you must love kids. Actually, I love their mama, okay? I got 6 kids, 4 of them are daughters, and whenever someone says, can I date your daughter, I'm like, just 7 years working for me, we'll talk. And that's what I tell them, and so far it's going good, okay? So he says, 7 years you work for me, and so that's what Jacob does. 7 years, this dude, he's getting up, he's working, he goes, I'm going to tend some sheep with her, we're going to tend some sheep together, and at the end of the 7 years, he says, where's my Rachel? The dad says, well, sorry, you get Leah. He's like, no, I wanted figure, not weak eyes. And he said, no, weak eyes is older, and so you get her. He's like, no, I wanted Rachel. So the dad said, you have to work 7 more years to have this girl. So for 14 years, he works, they get married, and they're gonna live happily ever after. Except, you know how life goes. Their biggest dream was, hey, we wanna have children, and they simply couldn't conceive. They tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they couldn't conceive. Finally, she gets pregnant, she gives birth to a son, a little bit of time goes by. Thankfully, she gets pregnant a second time. This is their answered prayers. She's about to give birth, and that's where we pick up in the story. Genesis 35, verse 16 tells us this. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. As she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, Don't despair, for you have another son. Now, we don't know what she's going through, but you can imagine this isn't a time where you can take someone to the emergency room. There's not like 4 doctors helping. She's not hooked up into machines. She is in big, big trouble. This baby's not coming out. She's maybe bleeding out. Who knows what? Probably screaming. I mean, you can only imagine this is the most terrifying situation perhaps she's ever been in, and she's likely dying. And in verse 18, we actually see she is dying. And we have to try to put yourself in there to feel it. As she breathed her last, Scripture says, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. There's one part of the world, they actually put it as one word. They say Benoni, whatever you want to say. I'll say Ben-Oni. She named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. We'll read this to you again, verse 18. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. Notice this. Rachel named her son one thing, but the father named the son something else. Let me say it again. Rachel named her son one thing, but the father named it something else. For some of you, you've named your situation one thing, but your father's going to name it something else. You may call yourself one thing, but your father is going to call you something else. How many of you know that names matter? Names matter. My name is Craig. Craig means strong. The problem is Craig is becoming an old man name, and I can't do anything to stop it. It really bothers me. You know, like Leonard is an old man name. Velma is an old lady name. Craig is becoming an old man name because there are no babies named Craig. So listen, like if you do meet that girl today with no ring on her finger and God used me to give you the courage to go talk to her, name your son Craig. Just do it just to keep the name alive. So names matter, right? What's really crazy is my staff, I've got about 75 or 80% of my staff, they're millennials, which I love. So they're like young, pop, 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 having babies every time you look around. Like baby. I send out cards to everyone that has a baby, probably write 3 to 4 baby notes every week. I mean, we're talking about this is one in love, young, big group of people. They're baby. And I say, the baby names are jacked, okay? They're jacked. I did some research on weird baby names, and I looked at the top most common 100 weird baby names. I want to show you the boy names and the girl names. These are real baby names that are becoming more popular today. Let me show you the boy names first. Arrow. You can name your kid Arrow, okay? If you want to make sure your kid's straight, I don't know, call him Arrow. That's just there. Let me show you another name. Bobo, okay? Don't do that. Don't call your kid Bobo. How about this one? Miggy. You want to make sure your kid gets beat up every day when he's 9 years old, call him Meaty. Let me tell you, Miggy, who's going to beat him up? This next kid's going to beat him up. Blade is the kid that beats up Miggy, Bobo, and Arrow. Those are weird boy names. Let me show you weird girl names. These are real and popular names. Fruity. Are you kidding me? How about this one? Pandora. Right. You're named after a radio station, or you're something that comes out of a box. How about this one? Okay, Messiah. Yeah, how about that? No pressure there, little girl. No pressure there, perfect one. And this last one is the best of the best. Okay, this is a real name. How do you say that? La. Hey, come here, hey, la. Stop that, la. Don't make me come over there, la. Don't touch them, la. Count it, 1, 2, la, 3, la. You know how you say that? Anybody know? There you go. Ladasha. That's what that name is. Ladasha. I kid you not. I kid you not. I did not come to offend anybody, but if your name is Fruity, Pandora, Miggy, or Ladasha, God will give you a new name in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what they called you, God can call you something else. Okay? That doesn't matter where you've been. You are not where you've been, and that's just for fun. I had to go there. Who knows? I might have saved somebody from naming their kid Bobo, and that's why God sent me to Hillsong London today. Genesis 35, 18, let's look at it again. As Rachel breathed her last, as she breathed her last, her son breathed his first. As Rachel breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. She named her son Ben-Oni. What does Ben-Oni mean? Ben means son. Oni means sorrow. She named her son in this moment, son of my sorrow, which is completely understandable, isn't it? Think about it. She is hemorrhaging. She's dying. She's got one son that she'll never see grow up. Now the baby that was going to bring her the greatest joy is bringing her to her death. She'll never get to hold this child. She'll never get to see him take his first steps. She'll never get to comfort him when he gets a scratch on his knee. She'll never get to see him grow up. And she says, in this moment, this is the worst thing I could ever imagine. This is son of my sorrow. She wants to put a name on a son that will follow him for years and years to come. This is son of my sorrow. But when you think about it, Rachel wasn't the only one grieving, was she? Who else was grieving? Okay, Jacob is beside himself because this is his best friend. This is the love of his life. This is the woman that he wanted to grow old with, and she's passing away right before him. But even though he recognized this is a tragic moment, he also recognizes that I will not have a son that is defined by a moment. Let me say it again. Even though this is a tragic moment, I will not have a son who is defined by a moment. There's someone here, you may be in a season that is not where you want to be, but you will not be defined by the season that you're in. You may have done something that you shouldn't have done. You will not be defined by something that you did. You may have a label that you're owning and may even be true now, but what's true about you today doesn't have to be true about you forever. You will not be labeled eternally by something that owns you now. So he looks on and says, no, 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 no. We're not calling him son of my sorrow. We're naming him something else. We're going to call him Benjamin, not son of my sorrow. What does Benjamin mean? Benjamin means son of my right hand. It means the right hand symbolized strength. It symbolized righteousness. He says, no, I'm calling you something else. In fact, Jacob had experience with renaming. In fact, the reason he could rename, if you look through the totality of his life, you'll see about four different times where he either was renamed or renamed something else. Jacob means deceiver, and one day when he wrestled with God, after he lived wrestling with God, he said, God, give me a blessing, and God says, I'm going to call you Israel instead of Jacob, and Israel means my God prevails. Then he looked at that place, and he said, I'm going to rename this place where I am. I'm calling it Peniel because I saw the face of God and I lived. Two other times he actually is involved in renaming because he recognizes what's true in a moment doesn't have to be true over a lifetime. What may be true about you now doesn't have to be true about you years to come. If you don't like what it's called, call it something else. This is not son of my sorrow. This is son of my right hand. This is going to be a blessing, and we're going to call it something else. In other words, what the enemy may have meant for evil right now in your life, our God, by his power, by his grace, and by his strength, can turn it to be good. You cannot control what comes into your life, but you can control what you call it. If you don't like what it is, call it something else. In fact, this is, in so many ways, has defined who I've become as a pastor over the years. I was, I told you I was a young Christian when I became a pastor, and I was totally and completely in love with Jesus and yet more insecure than you could ever imagine. I'll tell you how I actually got called into full-time ministry. I started going to this really cool United Methodist Church in Oklahoma City, and it was if you can imagine, it was a charismatic evangelical Methodist church. It'd be like the doxology and people speaking in tongues. You talk about signs of end times, man, that was it. My pastor was on fire. He was this guy who wore this robe, and he would preach and sling snot and spit everywhere and just preach like crazy. And so he said, next week is Bring a Friend Sunday. I want you to bring as many friends as you can. I'm going to present the best gospel message that I've ever preached. So I went back to my fraternity house. I said, all of you guys are coming with me to church next week. And they're like, no, there's no way we're not. And I had a few that were Christians. And so I got 17 guys, most of them weren't Christians, to come with me to church the next weekend. We took up two whole rows of pews. And the average age of this church was probably like 101. I mean, everybody was old. There had never been that much testosterone in that section of the church since probably 1940 or so, you know. And so my pastor said, hey, if you brought a friend, would you stand up with your friend? Well, I stood up with two rows of people, and the whole church turned to look back, like, where did these people come from? And he said, you could just see his wheels turning. He's like, if you're the one that brought people, you remain standing, everybody else sit down. And so everybody else sat down, and I was remained standing. And in the Methodist church, they had these thrones up at the top, these big kind of seats where the other pastors sat. And my pastor went and whispered to a guy on a throne, and he pointed out at me, he said, see that guy out there? Find him and hire him on Monday. Okay? And that's how I got called into full-time vocational ministry. Dead true story. That's how I got called into full-time ministry. The problem is, I was such a young Christian and I was so insecure. I was in my pastor's office all the time dealing with my labels and the things that I was so worried about. I told my pastor, well, what if they find out that I got arrested for stealing? What if they found out that I did this? What if they found out that, you know, all this kind of stuff? And my pastor looked back at me and said, you know what? You can call that your biggest liability. You got a past, you did things that were not right, and you can see it that way, and I think Satan would probably like for you to see it as your biggest liability. Or you can see your past as your biggest asset. Because of where you were, you can relate to where so many people are, and God might be able to use you to reach some people that other pastors can't reach. Call it something else. You may look at your past and think, how could I ever have a good marriage after all that kind of stuff? And you say, you know what? After all I've been through, I don't need to explore around. I'm ready to commit to someone forever and ever. Call it something else. Don't let the devil talk you out of who God calls you to be. You may say, but I don't feel worthy of the name that he's going to give me. This was me. This was crazy. I'm 22 years old at the time, and this one lady called me Pastor Craig for the first time. And you talk about humbling, and like she said, Pastor Craig, I'm like, I went into my pastor's office. I can't bear the name pastor. I'm not good enough after all I've done. I don't know enough. I haven't graduated seminary. I'm not Pastor Craig. And he said, no, that is your title. You just don't believe it yet. He said, I promise you, give it time and you will grow into your name. Okay? Someone, you need to hear this, because you may not feel worthy of God's love. You may not feel forgiven yet. You may not feel like you're healed yet. You will grow into the name that God calls you. Don't give up. Give it time. You'll grow into that name. You'll grow into that name. Grow into the name. God's going to call you something. You may not believe the good news about what he says about you yet, but you continue to walk with him. He will renew your mind. He will heal you. He will set you free. You will grow into that name. And for some of you, it's as little as one step forward. And let me explain to you one of the most significant kind of rituals I have as a communicator, as a preacher. I was so afraid of preaching because I felt like I didn't know the Bible well enough, I wouldn't be good enough. And so I told my pastor, I'll be a pastor, but I won't preach. One Saturday night, he called me at 9 o'clock and he said, you're preaching tomorrow morning. I said, oh no, are you sick? He said, no. I said, you dying? No. Are you in trouble? No. So why am I preaching for you? He said, because I wanted you to. So when did you decide this? He said, about 3 months ago, I decided I'd have you preach tomorrow. I'm like, why did you wait till the night before? He said, because you'll only not sleep one night and you wouldn't have slept for the last 3 months. You're preaching tomorrow. And that's what I did. The next day he prayed for me. He said, God, use this man. Give him the words to say. He prayed, and right after he prayed, I vomited in his garbage buckets. For about the first 3 years, every time before I'd preach, I would throw up. We'd pray, come Holy Ghost. I don't do that anymore, just so you'll know. I don't throw up in a bucket. I just over there, I threw up in my mouth. I swallowed it. We're good to go. Just teasing, okay? So let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. To this day, I am not worthy to stand here. To this day, I still say things I shouldn't say, have certain kind of doubts, end up doing things that just disgust me and break my heart, much less God's heart. But what I do is I stand up here, not based on my own authority or my own goodness, but based on the authority and the goodness of the one who called me. So every time before I speak at my church, and if you come, you'll see it. It's really dramatic. It means the world to me. I'm standing in my pulpit. I'll stand there this Saturday night and Sunday, and I'll do the same thing. Before the lights come up and the camera goes on, I take one big step forward, and it's a very meaningful step for me. I'm stepping in, and I look up, and I go. And what I'm saying to myself is I'm stepping out of my insecurities. I'm stepping into the security of who I am in Christ. I'm stepping out of my fears. I'm stepping into the boldness and the truth of his word. I am stepping out of my sinfulness. I'm stepping into his anointing. I'm stepping out of every insecurity, as deep as it is. I'm stepping into his calling. For some of you, that's what you need. It's one step. It's that simple. It's one step. I am not who I used to be. I am who he says I am. I am not what I used to do. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer listening to the voices that say I cannot. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am not cursed. I am blessed coming in, and I am blessed going out. I am not a victim of this. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of my testimony. You will grow into your new name. You'll grow into it. You cannot control what comes into your life, but you can control what you call it. Step out of whatever you're in. Step into who God says you are. Believe it. You are not your past. You are not what you once did. You are not who others say you are. You are who God says you are. He says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. He says if you're in Christ, your feet are planted on the rock. He says if you're in Christ, he's working in all things to bring about good. He says you're blessed. He says you're an overcomer. He says that when you are weak, his strength is made perfect in you. The very same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within those of you who are believers. You have resurrection power to step forward into his perfect calling and his perfect will. If you don't like what's in your life, call it something else. There may even be some truth to where you are today, but what's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you forever. You may feel insecure. So what do? Take a step forward into the confident calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have the label lazy. You haven't been the most motivated person. Instead, you step forward and say, no, I'm motivated by his divine calling and his will. You may be battling with depression. You may feel miserable. You may feel alone. You say, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you step into it. You are not unpredictable. You are not a failure. You are not in the worst season of your life. You are forgiven. You're transformed. You're being healed. You are loved. You are special in the eyes of God. That which may feel like the worst in the lowest moment, guess what? I call it something else. This is God teaching me to depend on him. I'm growing closer to him every single moment. When I don't have the strength to go on, I'm experiencing the strength of an eternal God who is with me, will never leave me, and never forsake me. Oh, I wish this had never happened. This is the worst thing. Yes, this may be a bad thing, but I'm being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm being strengthened from glory to glory. I can consider it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds because I know the testing, this develops perseverance in me, and it transforms me to be more like Jesus. If you don't like what's been dealt to you, call it something else. Would you stand to your feet for a moment? I want to take a minute and pray for you.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.